Let's be seated, won't you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's hard to remember when you preach mostly in the morning. I want to take you to a place and for you to imagine what it might have been. The place looks sort of earthen. It's sandy. There's a piece of wood, and what appears to be a doorway sits. That doorway was built a long time ago, before people thought about arches, or before they thought about steel, or before they thought about any way that we build. It was a Canaanite settlement that may have been over 3,000 years old, and it still stands. Not inhabited, but it's there dug up from the earth by archaeologists to tell a story. If you walk a little further, there are large stones and a large area that's been hewn out. And there is the place of sacrifice that the people of the tribe of Dan might have used. It stands a little bigger than this room, and it's really something to behold. It hasn't been used in a long time for what it was built for, but it tells a story. If you wander a little further up, there's a village. And down underneath the ground, there are places that you can wander into, the homes of people who might have lived in some of these villages. There's an ancient olive press that if you walk into it, it's so well preserved, you could think that someone could bring olives in tomorrow and start their business back up. There is a place where someone had buried all of their belongings because the Assyrians were invading. And if you dig a little bit, you can find their pots and their tools, untouched by human hands for thousands of years, left, and it tells a story. Venture a little further, and you can find a Roman encampment, a place where those soldiers had lived when they had occupied Jerusalem, when they had occupied the Israeli area, the Palestinian area. And when you look, you can see evidence of Latin writing, and it tells a story. It tells a little bit of the story that we might know, that we might remember. And if you look around another direction, there are temples to other gods than what we worship. There are places and rivers, all filled with story, some remembered and some forgotten, but communities thrived there once. We may not think that we're that connected to those stories, but all of what we see or what we might have, if you had been there with us, if you had seen this, connects directly with why we gather here tonight. That place of sacrifice, those doorways, might look a little similar ours. The altar is related to that altar. The stones that we throw about are related to those stones. The vestments that we wear today are similar to those worn by Romans and adopted by the church in its time. And the story we tell about Jesus tonight is a story that might have been heard then, that's been passed down from generation to generation for us to hear now. In 1962, some people thought there should be another church in Overland Park. And not too many people agreed with them. You probably didn't know that. I found a really interesting letter that's evidence. But the bishop at the time wasn't so sure that we needed another church. So he refused to recognize the community. They would meet and would work with the people of St. Michael's as they were their mission, And after a while, the bishop decided to recognize them. Here's a test. What's my name, bishop? What's my name? Good, okay, he recognized him. That's good. The bishop didn't want to recognize the group. And eventually the bishop came around, and that group of, depending on which history you read, 14, 15, 16, 17 families started meeting. Eventually meeting in a bar, a sock hop, and they kept in their history the stories of the police showing up at the sock hop on Fridays, and a nice article in the newspaper that there was all this trouble except for on Sundays when St. Thomas met. We laugh, but then we might remember that we have 20 AA groups that meet in our church. Reconciliation and healing, ministry in the community you're in. Later, the group would find themselves meeting at an elementary school, and eventually they would build their first building at 97th in Antioch. How many of you were either at the sock hop or in 97th in Antioch? And so you have a story to tell. You have things to remember and things that happened. In the photo directory from 1974, there's a few paragraphs written, and I was endeared to hear this because it's some of the same things that we say now. And it went something like this. We built a church to be different, to have a mission, to reach out to the community, to be a church 7 days a week, not just on Sundays. And it said we accomplished that when we started St. Thomas, and we intend to keep it as we go forward. Later, the church would call another rector, or their first vicar, who happens to be here, Ted. And this is really dangerous for me to try to tell the history when there's people here that actually lived it, you know. The advantage to go into archaeological sites is you can make it up. Ted came, and the community again enlivened, and goals were made, and the church grew. And the bishop came, and seeing the growth, said, "Go south." And the community said, "Okay." Is that all right? They were outgrowing their space. It was clear that there was growth coming out here, and so they came way out south where nobody lived yet, or just a few people lived. And this church was built, and ministry continued. And ministry would continue, and soon Ted would find a call to another place, and Josephville would come, and they would continue their ministry. And during Josephville's time, Ascension Catholic Church, I believe, met on Saturday nights. St. Thomas met on Sunday morning, and Holy Cross Lutheran met on Sunday night. I don't know if it all happened at the same time or exactly when it happened, but other communities found their way to our church to begin their churches as well. An organ was brought in, work was done, community was built, and ministry continued. Joe would find a call to another place, and Don would find himself here, building in an exciting time as Overland Park continued to grow almost to Oklahoma. The church would grow, services were added, experimental liturgies happened, a columbarium was formed, and much continued. Stories were told. Don would be called to Kosovo and would later find himself called to St. David's in Topeka for his ministry there. And Nicolette Papinek came as interim, and Christ Church left the diocese. A painful moment for our diocese, but from some of that time, many families came to be a part of St. Thomas. If you came from Christ Church, could you raise your hand if you're here tonight? That transition time, that being impacted by those families coming in, desire to renew the strength of the Episcopal Church led to a great time. And I got to come here to be part of that. And the first day I walked in, someone said to me, "When are we going to build the parish hall?" And on the second day, someone said to me, "Well, are we going to start?" And I said, "Not yet. Let's fill the church. Let's work on our ministry. Let's build some things up. Let's tell the story. Let's remember and recall." And man, we went to work. When I say we, I mean we. If you were a senior warden for me, a junior warden on the vestry or treasurer or a committee leader or involved in a ministry, would you raise your hand? I mean, if you did anything at the church. We went to work. And we started thinking and praying. And then at a vestry meeting about 5 years ago, at our retreat, we said, "Let's make some goals." And we said what seemed to be kind of outrageous things all put together. We wanted to add a service. We wanted to have an assistant come that was full time. We wanted to build a parish hall. We wanted to increase the staff. We wanted to do all kinds of things. And then the vestry went to work. And we started making goals, and we started talking with people. And not long after that, we got in touch with some folks from Gould Evans and from Church Development, and eventually A.L. Huber. And we started thinking hard about the building. And it's here. And the interesting thing is, back when Ted helped to build this building, they drew a parish hall out where we built it. And even though it was hard to kind of get people to not remember that, we kind of put those drawings away and didn't bring them out because we wanted to see what the architects thought, if that was the right thing. And they did. And so we started thinking, praying, and discerning, and talking, and having a lot of meetings. And a lot of phone calls of me calling and saying, "Well, hello, I have a job for you. Can you write a check? Let's get to work. Can you come to this meeting? Would you volunteer to do this?" If we went back to that place that we talked about in the beginning, and if we remembered all the stories, it was never about the building. They still stand to remind us of what happened so long ago. It's about community and what people believe. I am so happy for us. I am thrilled. I'm exhausted. It's been a hard year. And we were talking, the bishop and I were talking, and we've already consecrated the parish hall and that we have buried three of our beloved and did exactly what we dreamed of. That we could gather community. That we could bring people together. That we could offer healing in this place, in times of pain and joy. So we gather tonight, not only in celebration of 50 years of ministry, but to look forward. And I want you to remember some simple things. When I was ordained, the person that preached at the ordination for Kelly and I was a friend named Paul Fromberg, and he gave us a pebble to put in our shoe to remind us to serve the poor, to have something that might irritate us, to remind us of the gospel, to not get too comfortable. And I think in much the same way, we need to remember that the building in its beauty, the building in what it is a tool. We've already spilt stuff on the carpet. We put a floor in that'll be hard to destroy. We built it to use it, to fill it with people, to fill it with activity, to do everything we can to bring the gospel to this part of the world as our call. The building's our tool. The people gathered this place, some for many years ago, some more recently. We're a community to care for each other. Jesus would call us the body of Christ, a people gathered to follow and to seek and to discern and to learn and to be engaged in ministry. And we are the church. And the church belongs to God to bring God's kingdom into this place. We can rest for a little bit. We're going to celebrate tonight, but tomorrow we're back at ministry. Now we get to think about how we're going to use this thing we've done. How are we going to fill the space? How are we going to reach out to those who haven't heard the gospel? How will we go about doing that ministry? How will we care for each other? How will we listen to that call? I hope we leave a story, an amazing story, that in someday someone might dig this place up and say, "What was going on here?" That they might see and might know the amazing thing about our community. I'm so honored to be here. And all this work is built on the work that others have done. And I'm honored to have my colleagues here who serve this place so diligently in their time. It's not often that you get to gather with your people whom you follow. And they love this place, and they worked hard, and they gave some of the best years of their life to this place. And we honor you tonight, and thank you. And we thank the people of this congregation who have worked hard. And we thank our bishop and the diocese who have stood by this church through thick and thin. I don't know, do you remember something about a sheriff knocking on the door? There's a word I'm thinking of. John Burkhead, what is it? Foreclosure? Yeah, okay. The diocese stood with us in a time of need. And it's our time to stand with them and to be a strong parish for the future. We're grateful to St. Michael's and for their dedicated leadership and their support. And we're still connected, as I served as an assistant there, and our assistant grew up there. And so it's amazing when you think about that, that we are so connected and so grateful to that community. So let's have some fun tonight. Let's party. Let's dodge the tornadoes. But let's remember that we're here to tell a story. We're here to tell a story. The building is a tool. The people are the church. We belong to God, and we're here to do His work. Amen.
Amen.